Say welcome to everyone. We're glad to see Sister Crawford in worship that this last week about this time she had to be rushed to the hospital. But thank God she's well enough to be with us as we worship God. Let us bow our heads. Righteous, gracious, kind, merciful, holy God in heaven, we come, my God, to your throne of grace and mercy on the merits of Jesus Christ. Through his righteousness and because of what he accomplished at Calvary for us, my God, we have this great privilege and access to you. We give you thanks. We give you thanks, my God, for the privilege of prayer, whereby we have momently access, my God, to your power, to your grace, to your goodness, to your mercy, and to your abundant kindness. As we come, my God, to worship, we beg through Jesus the Christ that you will guide us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Because, my God, you are worthy of all that we are able to give to you. We give you thanks that you have blessed us with sufficient health and strength, so that we can come out as we now do. Not only, my God, have you blessed us with sufficient health and strength to come out to worship, but also to do our own business. We say thanks. We are about to study your word, my God, and we beg that you will be with us and intervene in your own way, so that through Christ you will help us, my God, to understand, to learn. Give us receptive minds and hearts, and give us enlightenment, my God, through the lesson. May you, my God, through Jesus Christ, be honored through this lesson. As I share this lesson, I beg your special help. I beg for physical and spiritual strength, my God. I beg through Jesus the Christ for your forgiveness. I beg through him for understanding of your will, so that in all that I'll say today, I will represent you correctly. My God, help that I'll make the lesson so plain and simple that everyone wanting to will understand. And having, my God, understood the lesson, we will apply to ourselves, and through our conviction and boldness, we will seek opportunity to share it with others. In Christ's name, my God, I beg and ask these mercies. Amen. We would like to pick up where we left off last week. We are on the subject of hearing such strange things about the Church of Christ, hearing such strange things about the Church of Christ, we hear strange things. Sometimes, in so many cases, these strange things come as accusation. We have been examining some of them. And in today's lesson, which is a continuation of last week's lesson, we are on the fact that we are accused of not believing in the work of the Holy Spirit in conversion. Among other things, we have pointed out that in so many cases we do not believe the false concept that men and women have of the Holy Spirit. But we listen to what the Holy Spirit reveals about Himself. You cannot go wrong there. And when we ended last week, we ended on the point that the Holy Spirit, not man, the Holy Spirit reveals in the gospel. Wait, not in my dream, not in my vision, but in the gospel, the Holy Spirit reveal that relative as it relates to being saved, as it relates to being converted, as it relates to becoming a child of God, it is a process. It is not a miraculous or an instantaneous thing. It is a process. The Holy Spirit reveals in the Gospel of Jesus Christ that conversion is a rational, conscientious process. It was for this reason we started with Isaiah. We're not going to go over that. It was for this reason we read a passage like St. John chapter 6, verse 44 following. It is for this reason we would like to read Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
Watch here now. May I? I may not. Look here. Notice, last week we pointed out, and it will come up again, that no man or woman can be converted without a human being playing a part in your salvation. The concept that the Holy Spirit or an angel came to your bed while you were sleeping and that's where and when you were converted, that is as strange to the gospel of Christ as anything you can find. In fact, since we are at Rome, you know, I'm just tempted to go to another passage, and that is 2 Corinthians. Is it chapter 4, verse 7? I'm going but ahead, a little bit going ahead, as I said, but hold the passage in Romans, so you know. I'm going ahead, but these two passages join. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and verse 7. The old passage, starting from verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 4, is talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somewhere from around verse 4 to verse 7, it refers to mention the gospel of the word. Talk about the gospel. Then when he reaches verse 7, he said, we have this treasure
in earthen vessels.
Are you all here? This treasure in earthen. Are we all here? Brother Mitchell, what does this mean? It means human beings. Vessels that belong to this earth. Are you all here? Those of you are waiting for an angel or the Holy Spirit to come and convert you, you will wait until judgment. That will never happen. Amen. Why? It is not in keeping with God's will and purpose that we be taught by angels. Are we all here? Or by the Holy Spirit? So, Paul talking about the gospel, from you can read from verse 1, 2 Corinthians 4, 7. Then when he says we have this treasure, what is the treasure? The gospel. Yes, yes, it's not vested in heavenly vessels. Yeah. Angels are given the agent. Are we all here? Is it not, it's not working, or I didn't turn it on? I did turn it on. Okay. Thank you, brothers. Yes. Wait. It's important that we get it. It's not that it's vested. The word vested means invest, put in. Heavenly vessel. That would be angel and the Holy Spirit. That's not where it is put. It is put in earthen vessel. And somebody said, you know, he forget where he was. No, I was at Romans chapter 10, somewhere at around verse 12, or I know 14 is involved. Yeah.
Verse 14.
Read it, brother.
How then shall they call on
watch
on
here. Him? You see, I'm making the connection. How shall they call on
him in whom they have not believed?
Now, that is on Jesus Christ. The hymn there refer to Jesus Christ. How shall they call on Christ if they do not believe in him? Notice the process.
And how shall they believe in him?
How shall they believe in Christ?
Of whom they have not heard.
Y'all hear that? Y'all hear that? You must believe through hearing. You must hear before you believe. But he doesn't stop there. And how
shall they hear without a preacher?
Wait. The brother got that wrongly. How shall they hear without an angel?
Without a preacher.
Are you all there? How shall they hear without the Holy Spirit? That's what it says.
Without a
no!
Preacher.
You get it? It's not how shall they hear without an angel. Because preaching and teaching the gospel, it's not angels' business. It's not the Holy Spirit business. Now, the Holy Spirit will help us to understand.
That's right.
But teaching it, preaching it, it's the business of earth and vessel. How shall they hear without
a preacher?
A preacher. Brother Webb, step down. In fact, what verse are you?
That's 14.
14. You had read 13 and 14.
And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Uh-huh. Now, give me verse 6 through verse 10.
But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise.
The righteousness which comes by believing speaketh on this wise.
Say not in thine heart.
Wait. You need to understand this. Don't begin to think, reader,
who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above.
Who shall
ascend into heaven?
Brother, wait. That's a miracle. And it is addressing those people who feel they cannot be saved unless there is a miracle. So the Holy Spirit anticipates their faithless reasoning. So they are saying, I cannot be saved unless there's a miracle. Somebody has to go up there to bring Christ down. Or somebody has to go down there to bring Christ up. That's a miracle. Read now.
But what saith it?
That is, what saith the scripture?
The word is nigh thee.
Wait. You see, you cannot be saved without the word being taught to you.
That's right.
And nothing going to come from up there to teach it to you. Nothing going to come from down there to teach it to you. In fact, listen to the passage. The word is
nigh.
The word nigh means near. Read that.
Even in thy mouth.
The word is right in your mouth and in your ears.
And in thy heart.
Uh-huh.
That is the word of faith which we preach.
Who preach it? Which angel preach?
Which
the Holy Spirit bring you. No, it's the word of the gospel that is preached by us.
Mm-hmm.
So don't start thinking, God, I want to be saved, but I'm waiting until something comes from above. The passage is saying, don't look for that. God, I want to be saved, but I need a miracle. I'm waiting for something to come from below. The Bible said, no, what you need to be saved is near by you. And that is the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Talk about we don't believe the Holy Spirit in conversion. We believe that the Holy Spirit in conversion. Are we there? Mm-hmm. But the Holy Spirit works with the Word. The instantaneous, direct intervention of the Holy Spirit in bed or wherever is a false, misled, wishful thinking. It will never happen. Listen to the passage of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. You know how we are saved. Look how it just mentioned, Brother Webb, the word is near you. I'm going to repeat a point I said last week. I'm going to repeat it again. Did I say Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13? I think that's what I said. Listen to the passage.
In whom he also trusted.
And the passage is showing the process. Huh? Listen.
In whom you also trusted.
In whom you also, that mean, watch here. It mean, the word trust mean, believe. Huh? In whom you also trusted.
After.
Wait. I like how Mr. Blake read after. He put emphasis on after. Huh? And rightly so. In whom you believe or trusted.
After that he heard the word of the truth. The word of truth.
You see, Mr. Blake? Huh?
Yeah.
Sister Blake's son. You see?
Yes, sir.
It is after you have heard the word that you believe.
Amen. Amen.
You must hear the word from a human agent before you can have faith. And the word here does not mean social word or political word.
Amen.
It means the pure gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You must hear it from a human being. Read the whole verse, brother.
In whom he also trusted, after that he heard the word of the truth.
In whom you also trusted, after that. That is faith going to come after you have heard, after you have been taught. Read on.
The word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel of your salvation.
Uh-huh.
In whom also, after that he believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit.
After you believe, you were sealed. Believe here stands for the whole plan of salvation. Huh? That's what we call the figure of speech, synecdoche. Where one word stands for everything. And believe here in that aspect of the verse stands for the whole plan of salvation. After you have completed your obedience to Jesus Christ, you are sealed. But you notice, believe come after you have heard the word. Everybody gets that? Brothers and sisters, watch here now. Watch here. Last week, I made a statement and make it again. You know, the fact that cardless phone, this business where you are not attached to anything, you can go freely. There is no encounter with a card. There is no contending with a card. You just have to wait. Huh? Huh? Ooh, some people want, they want thoughtless conversion. Wait, I did not say thoughtless. Huh? I said thoughtless. Teach less. You will never have a teachless or a thoughtless conversion. That means no man or woman will ever become a child of God the Bible's way this side of the cross of Christ. If they have not been taught. You must be taught. As many of you know, the Bible teaches in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. You don't have to read this. That we are called by the gospel. Wait, brother, wait. Some time ago, when you read, it says, don't wait for something to come from above. You remember you read that, brother? Huh? Don't wait for something to come from below. Huh? It says what you need is the word. Are you all there? That is in the book of Romans chapter 10. Huh? Now, my point here is that Everything about our salvation depends so much on the gospel of Christ, the word. It is the weapon or the tool of the Holy Spirit. So we are called by the word, the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Are we all there? We are saved by the word, the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Are we all there? Are we all there? We are to live by the gospel. Galatians chapter 2, verse 14. Are we all there? And you know what? Right now, we are being judged. And ultimately, we'll be judged by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. But the Holy Spirit not finished there with the word. Are we all there? Are we all there? We are told in the book of St. John chapter 15 and verse 3 that we are cleansed by the word. Are we all there? You want some more? We are told in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23 that we are sanctified by the word. Are we all there? I have some more for you. We are told in the book of John chapter 6 and verse 63 that we are quickened. Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? We are made alive by the word. Are we all there? We are told by the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 that we are born again by the word. Are you still there? Well, wait. Let me give you a little more then. We are told by the book of Psalms 19 and verse 9 that we are enlightened. Are we all there? By the word. But here is a goodie. In the same book of Psalms 19, this time verse 7, we are told that we are converted by the word. You stay there waiting for Holy Spirit to come and shake you, waiting for an angel to come and wake you up. That will never happen. No man or woman was ever converted that way. In fact, look at a passage. Note 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. Firstly, wonderful read. What a wonderful blessing. And to be listening, not God is blessing us from both sides.
Yeah.
By studying His word. He's blessing us, and by giving us the rain to produce fruitful seed, He's blessing us. Did I say 1 Peter chapter 1 from what verse?
22.
23. We are talking about the word. Let us hear it, brothers and sisters.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed.
Wait. We are born again, not of corruptible
seed. But of incorruptible.
Wait. This born again is not talking about the biological seed. It is the word. Let me hear it, brother.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God.
The word of God.
Which liveth and abideth forever.
It lives and it abides forever.
For all flesh is as grass.
All flesh is as grass.
And all the glory of man
as
the flower of
glory of man
as the flower of grass.
As flowers, they fade away. Read.
The grass withereth. And the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
Endureth forever.
Read on.
And this is the word which...
Wait, everybody listening? Now, lest you misunderstood, lest you be distracted, Peter said,
and
what
this,
I am talking about is the same word that what, brother?
The word of the gospel.
The word of the gospel. Everybody gets that? Read on.
And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Everybody gets it? What verse you start?
End of 25.
Okay. Can stop there, so brother. Ladies and gentlemen, may I? Are we all there? Look here. One must encounter or contend with the word before you can be saved. And that word must be brought to you by a fellow human being. Wait. You know, in this message, as we talk about the word, it is telling us too of the awesome responsibility we have as Christians. When you go to work, you must take the word with you. Men and women will never be converted if they do not hear the truth. Not just any old religious dogma. It must be the truth of the gospel. So as we talk about the importance of the word in human conversion, we must remember that it is vested in earthen vessel, that is, in us, the children of God. Yes, the Holy Spirit. In conversion, the Holy Spirit always works through and by His instrument or weapon, the word of the gospel. Are we there? We have read, don't tempt me to go over some of these passages. We have read passages, and don't ever forget passage like Romans chapter 10, 6 through 10, and 13 through 14. Which tells us, in effect, that passage is teaching, don't wait for a miracle. Don't wait for somebody to go there to bring Christ down. Or somebody to go down there to bring Him up. The Bible tells us that what we need to be saved is right in our reach. The word of the gospel which we preach. The human agency. The human agency is never bypassed by Jesus Christ. The human agency, the earthen vessel, is never overlooked or bypassed by the Holy Spirit. Are we all there? So in the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, he was directed to a human preacher. And the preacher was also directed to him. Not angel. Secondly, in the conversion of the Ethiopian nobleman, the preacher, Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, don't read it, we read that last week. The preacher was directed to the Ethiopian nobleman. Are we there? In the conversion of Cornelius, the Roman soldier, the preacher, well rather, he was directed to the preacher. And in effect, the preacher was also directed to him. When the Almighty God gave Peter the vision about killing and eating, the Almighty God was conditioning Peter's mind to receive a Gentile and to teach him. In all of these cases, the human agency was never bypassed. In all of these cases, the Holy Spirit or the angel never did the teaching. It was always done by a human being. Am I right? I know I'm right. And one last point on the lesson will be yours. In his biography, that is what the Holy Spirit writes or reveals about himself. The Holy Spirit tells us that he behaves himself. He acts rationally. Wait, we are not talking about what people say about the Holy Spirit or what people think. We are talking about what the Holy Spirit reveals about himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit reveals that he behaves and he acts rationally, orderly, decently, intelligently, temperately, and that the Holy Spirit never causes or work in anyone to act counterwise to that rational, intelligent, sane behavior. Watch here now. That's the last point. Watch here now. I said never. Are we all there? Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14. Another brother turned to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 23. In fact, on 1 Corinthians 9, 25. Let me hear that first.
And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things.
May I? The Apostle Paul, writing through the directive given by the Holy Spirit, using the Roman athletic game to illustrate a point of self-control. Are we all there? You're not there. I said, Paul, writing through the direction of the Holy Spirit, he is using the Roman athletic game as an illustration of self-control that the Holy Spirit gives to us. Let me hear it again.
And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things.
Every person who participated in the Roman athletic game, they had to exercise
temperance.
What is that, Brother Mitchell? Self-mastery. Self-control.
Yeah, amen.
Self-management. In some things.
In all things.
In all things. Wait. The word temperance means mastery. That means you are in charge. It means self-command. You can command yourself. It means self-control. It means self-management. It means being in charge. You are in charge of self. So it used the Roman game to show that as Christian we are to have that quality. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is a self-controlled being. And the Holy Spirit gives us some of that. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love,
mm-hmm.
joy,
uh-huh.
peace,
uh-huh.
long-suffering,
uh-huh.
gentleness,
uh-huh.
goodness,
uh-huh.
faith, meekness, temperance.
What?
Temperance.
What?
Temperance.
Right away. When it says the fruit of the Spirit, that's what the Spirit produces.
That's right.
Temperance. Are we all there? The business given to you that the Holy Spirit is some type of ghost or doppia power that when I'm preaching I step down and break my leg and when I'm beside you the Holy Spirit get in me and I punch you in your neck and in your face and I don't know because no, that is a lie. That is false.
Yeah.
And when the Spirit takes you, when you are in the Spirit, you mold on the dirt and you pine away in the bench and you are disruptive with the exclamation and few brothers have to come and hold you down. That is lie. Not the Holy Spirit of God. How do I know that? By listening and reading what the Holy Spirit reveals about Himself. We are not true. Huh? So we just learn that temperance means mastery, self-control, self-mastery. Be in charge of self. Watch here. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:5. Quick, brother. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Brother Mitchell, what the word unseemly mean? It means without deportment. It means without deportment. It means to act uncontrollably. It means indecently. Huh? Love does not make one behave like that. But watch here now. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:23. Following.
If therefore the whole church become together into one place,
mm-hmm.
and all speak with tongues,
mm-hmm.
and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers,
uh-huh.
will they not say that ye are mad?
Everybody gets it? The child of God who is in possession of the Holy Spirit, in whom the Holy Spirit lives, you must never so act as to give anyone legitimate reason says you are acting like you are mad.
Amen.
Or like you are intoxicated. Never! Those behavior do not come from the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Paul is talking about worship here, that when the unlearned, the ungodly or the new convert comes in worship, they must never have reason to ever think that our action tell them that we were drinking alcohol, that we are drunk or we are mad or that a screw or two or three screws missing up here. When you go to church and people are pining away and not in control of themselves and you talk about it is the Holy Spirit. Which Holy Spirit? Read on, brother. Quick.
But if all prophesy and they come in one that believeth not or one unlearned,
mm-hmm.
he is convinced of all, he is judged of all.
Mm-hmm.
And Thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth.
May I, Brother Webb, give me, what verse are you are?
End of 25.
Give me verse 28. Look here. We are cutting it up to... we have just learned that a true child of God under the influence of the Holy Spirit never act like you are drinking some rum, like you are crazy, like a screw is missing. Never. I said verse 28.
But if there be no interpreter.
No, wait. Look on the self. Look on the self control that is in the spirit possessed child of God. Watch it. If there is no interpreter,
let him keep silent in the church.
You missed it. You missed it. Let me show you that you missed it. Let him keep
silent.
Silent. Wait, it did not say let somebody come and hold him down.
Amen. Amen.
It did not say let somebody silence him. It is saying that the person is in charge of himself.
Yeah.
The person has it within him or herself to decide not to talk. You get it? That's the Holy Spirit. Let him keep silent. Huh? Read.
Keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God.
That's right. It's that decision he makes. Because the Holy Spirit gives him that self-control.
Yeah.
Step down to verse 30 following.
If anything be revealed to another, that sitteth by.
You know, if anything be revealed to another,
that sitteth by.
That sitteth by.
Let the first hold his peace.
Oh my God. Them people out there who attack pure nonsense about the Holy Spirit, they don't read the same Bible that I read. Because out there in these so-called holiness group, they give you the idea that when the Holy Spirit takes over, they cannot help themselves. It's another spirit that does that, not the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You listen to the passage the brothers just read? Let him read it again.
If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by,
mm-hmm.
Let the first hold his peace.
Wait. Let the person hold his peace. Huh? The person can hold his peace.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Something is revealed to the person, but because the person has self-control, temperance, the person makes the decision that I'm not going to say anything right now. But Brother Mitchell, suppose the Holy Spirit impels the person to no such thing.
Amen. Amen.
Let him hold his peace.
Hold his peace. For he may all prophesy one by one.
You see the order? You see the order? You may all preach, but don't each one doing his own thing in worship. There must be order one by one. Read on a little further, brother.
One by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted.
Mm-hmm, read on.
And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet.
No, Brother Webb, they read it from it. You see me have it marked, the X then, the sign. You wonder that I forgot it? No, sir. You see, what I've done, I want the audience to listen to the different translation of this verse. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You see, X decide the different version. Read.
The spirit of a true preacher is under the preacher's control.
Somebody didn't hear that. That is one translation. The same verse you have, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. One way that the Greek is translated is, read that again.
The spirit of a true preacher is under that preacher's control.
The Holy Spirit does not take away our ability to make decisions. Read the other one.
Remember that a person who has a message from God has the power to stop himself and wait his turn.
I love that. I love that. Let me hear that again. No brother, where you run from is far and afar. Read.
Remember that a person who has a message from God has the power to stop himself and wait his turn.
Brother Mitchell, why you preach so long? The Holy Spirit impels me, brothers. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. If I preach long, it's not because I can't stop. I have it within my power to say, well, the sermon is long enough, or I need to preach 2 more hours. You see, read the other one.
The gift of prophecy does not take from the prophets the control of their own spirits.
Everybody gets it? Oh, Lord, so many things. May I, brothers and sisters, we have to stop here. I tell you that I have it within my power to stop. That's right. We have to stop here. But there are a few things, oh, Lord. You know what? I'm going to encourage you to come back tonight. I'm not sure. Just a few simple points. But time, you know. I want to share with you, I want to show you the behavior of demonic spirit. And to contrast, to show you that behavior that ignorant men and women today in man-made churches attribute to the Holy Spirit, the only spirit in God's word that we see act like that is demonic spirit. And we need to get it and get it right. That there are certain behavior that we must never attribute to God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit does not make God's people take leave of their senses and of their self-control. We'll have to stop here, brothers and sisters. May I? If you are in our audience this morning, if you are in this audience, and if you have learned truth about God's Word, that brings you enlightenment about Christ's will for you, how you are going to be converted. It will not be waiting for a miracle that will happen in your bed. It will be the normal process of somebody teaching or preaching to you. If you have seen and if you have understood that, you can become a child of God this morning. You can come believing, repenting of your sin, confessing faith in Christ, and getting baptized for the removal of your sin. You can go through the process of becoming a true New Testament Christian. If you are a child of God who has strayed, grown, and faithful, you can come and recommit your life to Jesus Christ this morning. We are going to stand and we are going to sing a song. The song will be sung to the honor and glory of Christ's name. But it is also a chance for you to step forward and bring your needs to Jesus Christ as we stand and sing.